Welcome back to the Brian Park Project from NPR News, online all the time at npr.org/Brian Park. Finally, some music we can relate to.
Oh, yeah.
For a while, this was the most listened to CD in America. And in fact, I had a friend who used to like to test stereos, and this was the song he would always use, because nothing tests a stereo more than Wild Thing. So, speaking of the most listened to song in America, we also have a collection of the most emailed, the most viewed stories online in America. We call it the most. Oh, it's a shame to have to lose Tone Loke.
I was hoping you just wouldn't say it so we could keep rocking.
Right, never say the most. Just rock out to the tone. Ian, what you got?
I have a couple. One's just a very quick update, which was the most popular on CNN.com. And it turns out, you know, we've been covering the feet washing ashore in British Columbia. Two of them belong to the same person. Foot 3 found in February and foot 5 found in June. Are from the same man. The other finding of the recent investigation is that the feet have come off not by being severed, but just decomposition. They fell off. Apparently the ankles are a weak part.
That's the weakest
link.
Body.
You know, that's why I stopped sprinkling fish flakes on mine.
So that the fish wouldn't nibble your feet off.
Yeah, it makes them stay on longer if they're decomposing in the ocean.
Yeah. Well, maybe I'll get there.
That's
too.
Some good planning.
Damn. Yeah, I like to think ahead.
Where you go now? Yeah. Another thing is, this was a most popular on Newser. This was actually from Radar Magazine. They just put together a list of celebrities and their real names. So, you know, everybody knows, like, Ralph Lauren was originally Ralph Lipschitz, I believe. They Moby, I didn't know his name. Did you know his name before he was Moby?
I bet it's really lame.
Is it whale related?
It is not. Richard Melville Hall.
He's actually related. I think he's related to Herman Melville. Now that you say that, I think
Richard,
I remember.
Really? Richard Melville is Dick Melville. Like Moby Dick.
Oh,
my God.
This
all
is
there.
Weird.
He basically has to be called Moby. Okay, hit me with a couple more.
That's good. Ice-T.
Uh-huh.
Tracy Moreau.
Sure.
Ghostface Killa. Dennis Coles. Natalie Portman. Did you know? I didn't know that wasn't her name. Natalie Hirschlog.
Good move. Portman. Good move.
A couple I really like. Geraldo Rivera was just Gerald Rivera. And Jan Wenner, the publisher of Rolling Stone.
His real name is Jan.
Yeah. No, it looks that way. Just added an N
Jan
there.
Jan Loser.
Added an N there. I always liked Dice Raw from The Roots. He's not on this list, but I think his name, Carl Burt Jenkins, which is not really a hardcore kind of rap.
Yeah.
Thing, but.
No. Also, William December. Billy D. Williams. What do you do when a moose interrupts a soccer game? The Anchorage Daily News asks. Yeah, this happens a lot, and a local biologist just doesn't understand how stupid people are. They go up to the moose, they'll scratch the moose's ear, they'll rub the moose's snouts, they'll feel the moose bristles between their fingers, but this isn't good. In fact, Rick Sinnott of Alaska says no good could come of this. You can't write citations for stupidity, unfortunately. There are a few hundred moose in the Anchorage Bowl. They wander up to people, and it just makes the moose... It's just not a good situation. The moose gets too friendly, and then eventually starts becoming, you know...
Well, then it wants to move in. It's not going to pay its share of the rent.
No, it'll just lie on the couch.
The moose likes it, though, right?
The moose likes it for a little while, and then he becomes acclimated to the people, and then just terrible things happen. You know, he eats people's garbage, and sometimes he tramples someone. It's also illegal to feed a moose in Alaska. But sadly, not many other states, and I think they need to pass that law in Florida. Dan, what do you have?
Well, Mike, I get the most emails here from Yahoo News. I know you have a beautiful young boy in your home named Milo.
This is true.
We all love Milo. And I'm curious to ask you as a father if you can tell me, how much is Milo worth to you?
This is a picture of Milo.
Picture. He's very cute. Now, how much is this kid worth?
On the open market?
Yeah, I mean, it's you.
Healthy white baby? He's, like, I don't know, 7 million?
Well, you're exactly right. You want to read this article? Thanks a lot, buddy. The value of a statistical life is $6.9 million.
Right, so it's a little more.
But that's
oh,
a
man.
Drop.
Oh, no.
An American life is worth less today than it used to be. It's not just the American dollar losing value. You're dropping in value, Mike Pesca, as are all of the rest of us.
I could feel it happening, actually.
Yeah, totally.
Could you put it in context? What does that mean? Who is putting these price tags on
American
lives?
Well, the Environmental Protection Agency puts this number together. It's a drop of nearly $1 million from just 5 years ago. And, you know, they say this may seem like a harmless bureaucratic calculation, but it's really, it has real consequences when the government draws up different regulations. They put a value on human life and weigh those costs against life-saving benefits.
Right.
So
basically they'll say, this thing costs $21 million to install. But it will save 3 lives, then it might be worth it. If it'll save 30 lives, it's definitely worth it. If it's only saving 1 life, it won't be worth it.
That's right.
So they do their calculations with that figure,
that's
about
right.
$7 million.
Now, some environmentalists accuse the Bush administration of changing the value to avoid tougher rules.
Yeah.
Charge the EPA.
The lower
denies.
A life is worth, the less you have to do.
Exactly.
Wow, that should be a campaign issue. You know, how much do you value a human life at?
Yeah, $6.9 million.
Of course, every politician will be, you know, a human life is invaluable, and no matter the cost, we're going to save one person. But it's always very interesting how they make those calculations. Laura Silver's here.
Hi.
What does Laura bring us?
How much is a pole dance worth?
What's it go
in
for,
Chile?
Like, oh, in Chile?
Yeah.
What's the exchange rate right now?
It's a totally different currency.
How do you make it rain in Chile?
Well, a pole dancer down there was arrested by police after she was trying to remove her clothes outside the presidential palace, but it wasn't her first gig. A young woman named Montserrat Moriles said her performances are happy minutes. And she's really just trying to loosen Chile up. It's a timid country, she says. And her dance, her pole dance, it's just the beginning. She says, we're starting an idea here that will grow and be developed further.
But now she is in jail. And if you're going to dance against a Chile pole, you might get stuck. Matt, take us to the
This is true.
Piece.
In other Latin-related news, oh, this is a bad segue. Pretend I never said that. Strike that from the record. Transcribers, listening transcribers, strike that from the...
It is stricken.
Transcript. Thank you very much. The number 2 most viewed right now at NPR is a story that's part of our look at Latino voters. This is a story by David Green about a group called Latinas for McCain. Here's David's report.
7 members of Latinas for McCain invited me to breakfast at a country club in Las Vegas. There were Republicans and Democrats at the table. These women own businesses or do social work. Yolanda Murrow is a family counselor, and she may never have predicted she'd be in a group called Latinas for McCain. Yolanda's a Democrat. She supported New Mexico Governor Bill Richardson in the Nevada caucuses in January. But now that Barack Obama appears to be the Democratic nominee, Yolanda's organizing for John McCain. One reason is McCain's age.
Youth versus age. And again, being a Latina, we see age as a plus, not as a minus. You know, when you hear people say, oh, he's too old, he's 70. For us, that's a good thing, actually. You learn a lot from elders. You get the experience. You get the wisdom.
Yolanda does have disagreements with McCain. She supports abortion rights, and that's one reason she usually votes for Democrats, but not in this presidential race.
McCain has always been middle of the road with that, too, where he's comfortable with women making choices. So I'm okay with that, too. So I think that's where the balance lies for me.
Yolanda says even though she knows McCain is pro-life, she's comfortable with him, so much so that she'll be helping to get the vote out for McCain this fall. So will Tibby Ellis. She's the national ambassador for Latinas for McCain. Tibby's a registered Republican. She supported Mitt Romney in the Republican caucuses here in Nevada. And after John McCain essentially wrapped up the nomination, Tibby got on board with the Arizona senator after a few weeks. But Tibby's support for McCain is also driven by her belief that Barack Obama is unacceptable. For one thing, Tibby says she was bothered when Obama left his Chicago church after the controversy over some of Pastor Jeremiah Wright's sermons. Tibby points to her own Catholic faith and the recent sex abuse scandals.
We have some offenders in our city from the Catholic Church. I don't leave my church because a man makes a mistake. I stay true to my faith and my people and my church. He changed from Muslim to Christianity, and then he renounced his church because he was confronted with conflict. So what is he going to do in the future when he's confronted with conflict?
You heard how Tibby said Obama changed from Muslim to Christianity. For the record, Obama spent part of his childhood in Indonesia, but in a secular household. Obama stresses he's a devoted Christian, and his campaign has started an entire website to respond to mischaracterizations of his background. But the Obama campaign's challenge is clear. Listen to Teresa Ramirez.
He's from Middle East. He got the background for the Middle East. when he was a little boy, he went to school. He was a Muslim school. The reason I don't trust is because those people, they brainwash the kids when they are little. They are six years old.
Now, Obama did not attend a Muslim school, and I pressed Teresa. I said Obama has never practiced in the Muslim faith. Her response?
He dropped his church with the first problem he had. And that proved, though, he's lying when he said he was not Muslim, because it's already two religions that he dropped. That means it's what we're expecting to do in this country, when they be something big, though he don't know how he acts. You know, that is something, though, I cannot trust him. It's one of the reasons I don't believe in him.
And in fact, many of the reasons these women gave for supporting McCain had more to do with things they believe about Obama. Several of them say they've listened to Obama's calls for change and watched students and young people mobilize around him. They say this reminds them of political movements in Central and South America that ended badly. They point to Fidel Castro in Cuba and Hugo Chavez in Venezuela. Sonia Ravelli is a Republican. She's originally from Brazil.
I was a student. I've been there. We want all the different things. We don't know why. Because we're tired of our parents sometimes. We're tired of our grandparents. We're tired of the government. And when we want change, we should go to the closet and change our clothes, because we don't have a structure to change the country. Go and buy a new suit, a new dress. Change yourself. But leave the country for the people who have a responsibility to make decisions.
Sonia and the other women in Latinas for McCain say they'll be offering these views to other women and encouraging them to get to the polls in November.
And you know what? A hat tip to NPR's David Green reporting. Reporters have been there. You're a reporter, not a teacher. Someone says something factually inaccurate, and then you have to walk the line. You tell the person. You also have to tell your audience. You're not there to give ideas to a person who didn't have ideas beforehand. Great job by him. And you could hear more on NPR's series on Latino voters on the big NPR website. And all the links to all the stories you heard at the most on our website, npr.org/Bryant Park.